Do I want what?
Makeup. You told me to send it.
I don't know. Did I get greasy?
No, you were too.
I'm fine. I just, I was.
We have 20 seconds. I need to
be. I'm fine. I'm fine.
He's okay without doing glam. Eddie, no glam.
Jerry's fine. I'm fine. You don't want to overdo it when you're, you know, in your 50s and 60s.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome author, political analyst, and host of AM Joy, Joy Reid.
Hello.
We're going to eat later.
Eat.
Do you eat at night?
Oh, yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the sneak peek. Right, you enjoyed the sneak peek of Netflix Emmy-nominated program, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, season 11. And without further ado, let me introduce executive producer and host of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Mr. Jerry Seinfeld. And of course, the incomparable Eddie Murphy. Okay.
Well, you said the incomparable or impossible?
Whichever you prefer.
Which did you say?
I'm going to be different. I said incomparable.
Ah, okay.
Incomparable,
okay.
Yeah. Cannot be compared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, possible, but not comparable.
I have to start by asking you, Jerry, because I just heard this for the first time today. You launched this idea for this show. This is the 11th season.
Yes.
But the first 9 seasons were on something called Crackle, which
yes.
apparently you killed by walking away from it.
Yes.
Where did you come up with this idea, and why the cars?
I always liked Rice Krispies, and I heard of this company. You know, in the beginning, it was just something you build in your attic. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I was really kidding, you know, when I do those announcements. And this, as comedians, I mean, I was joking. I didn't think, this is not a real show. It's just like two comics talking, and I'm going to cut it together. And,
yeah.
And then, but I knew an executive at Sony, and they had this platform. And he said, why don't you just see what if it's anything you want to do? And if it is, then we'll figure out the money. And that was a nice relationship. So that's why I did it there.
Speaking of relationships, one of the things that I learned through watching this that I think is really cool, you guys are both obviously very successful, very well-known comedians, but you guys came up together.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship between the two of you, I think, is really fascinating. So talk a little bit about that, if you could, Eddie, just about coming up in comedy with this guy, both in New York, sometimes on the same bill.
Yeah, lots of times. We played a lot of little clubs together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was funnier?
He was always the funniest.
No, that's
he
not
was,
true.
He had his show down. He was polished. He had it all down before everybody.
Yeah.
That was really true.
Yeah.
You and George Wallace, you guys were the ones.
Yeah, we figured it out. Well, in those days, you know, in the mid-70s, stand-up, young people doing stand-up was a new thing. And people in New York used to come out, and they would go to these clubs, and you know, the comedians they knew were Alan King and Shecky Green, and then there were these kids started doing it.
But then you had it together as a person, too. Like, you was the first comic to have a nice car. I remember he got a Saab, and we were all, like, standing on the outside. It's just Seinfeld Saab. Bought this with jokes. It's, like, amazing to us.
But you guys both talk about coming up, you know, and just being able to make people laugh,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how that was the first time you realized, you know, this is something that I'm capable of doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you guys were kids, what made you laugh? Each of you, what made you laugh?
I always had a really good sense of humor, pretty broad, still.
Yeah.
Wasn't it really like the things like that these guys could do with their voices? They had these elastic voices where they could do characters and they would stretch out the vowels and words and just, you know, instead of just talking, like, you know, it was Cosby and Klein and Carlin to a certain extent, too. Although Carlin was more, the written word was more impressive in the way he would assemble the bits. But to me, the thing that really got me excited, I mentioned in the thing, why is there air? I had never heard anybody do that with their voice.
Right.
You know, he would take you to different places and just, it was like silly putty.
Yeah. I want to go back to Raw, which is one of the funniest. You guys hopefully remember. One of the things that I love about what you both do is that you guys make sort of regular things funny, right? That ordinary stuff is funny, the ice cream story. It's just a story about some kids getting some ice cream, but you can make it hilarious. Why is it that ordinary life things are so capable of being made into comedy?
Well, it's not ordinary.
Yeah.
That's what he's seeing. The idea of screaming at someone to throw money down.
That's literally
so that
my
I
life.
Can get
that was
ice
ordinary.
Cream that's coming in a truck. The comedian sees this entire thing is insane. So that's what we do is we find what's wrong actually in
right.
this ordinary picture. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever worry about just bombing? About getting up there and doing live comedy, doing comedy on stage, and just nobody gets it?
Not now. Maybe when in the early days, but now I'm pretty sure I'm funny now. So now I don't worry about that. Although
yeah.
it could still happen, it's not something I worry about.
Yeah, yeah. What about you? Do you ever worry about it now?
You know, I don't worry. I worry about it just not being great. That I want it to be great every night, which it can't be. And you just want it. You want to get to that place on stage where you feel funny. And then the audience kind of will click into it, and then you both will lock into that place, and you try and just hold it there as long as you can.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can't get there, and that's why you have an act.
They're not quick to heckle people that they know. If they've seen you and you made them laugh before, you don't really get heckled.
It's like... But the silence is worse than the heckle. when it's quiet, I was just doing some shows in London, and one show I did to warm up, to see the stuff that they know. I wasn't sure if they knew about Pop-Tarts or Raisinets and some of these things I talk about. So I go to this club late at night, and they have no air conditioning because it's London. And it's hot. It's hot there for some reason. And comedians know if you go up 1 degree in temperature in the room, the laughs go down 20%.
Yes,
right?
True. Yeah.
So I'm pouring sweat, and I'm thinking they're not going to laugh because it's hot. So those are the things you worry about.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have it quiet than somebody scream something out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you've been in a club and they're doing your shit, somebody screaming out, "You ain't nobody!"
That is a horrible thing to do. Absolutely nobody. You ain't nobody. That's a great heckle.
That is a very black heckle.
Yes.
So, Eddie, you talked about that era that you went through at a certain point where there's like one black comedian that could be the guy. That could be the black comedian. And that
not comedians. It was... Period. It was one black person at a time in Hollywood.
It could be famous, period.
Yeah, it was like one at a time. And that was like right up until like 1980, it was like that. It was, you would just see one, and then it kind of opened up after that.
Yeah. I don't know about, I mean, there was Flip Wilson, there was the Scoey Mitchell. What about Scoey Mitchell?
Scoey Mitchell was never in. He never hit it.
I thought he was funny.
We thought his name was funny. It was funny. I hope this guy make it with that name. It's the only Scoey ever.
Scoey Mitchell.
Scoey Mitchell.
No, I mean, you know, really get
you never heard that name.
No.
You know who Scoey Mitchell
no.
was?
No.
Yeah, Scoey Mitchell was in, what's that movie?
He was Richard
No, he was also in, he's in a Richard Pryor movie, Jojo Dancer. He plays his father in Jojo Dancer.
Okay. That's Scoey Mitchell. Okay.
Yeah, and he was on the come up, and I think what messed him up was the story is he got into a fight with the producer or something and never worked again.
What about George Kirby? Do you consider him he was a comedian?
He was a comedian.
So,
but he
was
never.
Around.
But he never. I'm talking. What I'm talking about.
Red Fox was around.
One at a time. I mean, like blow up and get in the mix. George Kirby wasn't making movies, and he never had the George Kirby show or anything like that.
He went to prison. You know.
Yes, on the cocaine.
Taxes. What was it?
It was cocaine.
It was cocaine. I remember being at the Improv on Melrose, and sitting having pizza with Leno, and Leno saying to me, "You know, George Kirby's about to get out," and I went, "Wow, that went fast."
not for George.
Yeah.
I'm gonna Google Scoey Mitchell when we leave here. So you've actually, I appreciate that.
I think Scoey Mitchell's still around.
Is he still alive?
Really?
Yeah, he was making like cars. Like you could get like a restored car. He was doing that a couple years
ago. Did you like Flip Wilson?
I love Flip Wilson. I think Flip Wilson is the unsung hero with black comics. He's the first one. He's in middle America's living room. He's not assimilating. He's being him. He owns his fucking show. He had everybody on the show. We love Flip Wilson.
He was like the original Madeir.
I guess so, yeah.
Right? That kind of comedy.
Geraldine. I don't know if you younger people don't remember. He would do this Geraldine character, and you kind of like waited for it. Is he doing Geraldine this week?
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
I bumped into him at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. And I went over to him. I had just gotten out here, and I wasn't anybody. You ain't nobody. And I was so excited to see him. I went over to him and I said hi. And he stood up from his table to say thank you. Aww. And I just, that, you really remember
that.
Did he
have the suspenders on?
No.
he hosted Saturday Night Live and he had on suspenders and he gave suspenders to everyone as a gift.
Wow.
When you were like,
when I was there, I got to meet, he got to be on the show.
Yeah, he was a sweet guy.
Yeah. And he didn't die broke. And he lived in Malibu. He died a rich man. And
this is
a great story and great. It's amazing what people don't know about Flip Wilson.
More about him, yeah. Let's talk about Richard Pryor, because I mean his influence on comedy. He is somebody you talked about, and it was a bit sad to hear that you guys did that. He didn't connect with you, at least at the time. Did you ever get a chance to really connect with him?
Well, you know, I didn't know that stuff was going on. Richard would act really cool with me. I thought it was all good. Then I found out afterwards some of that other stuff. But when I would go face to face with Richard, he'd be really nice to me. He'd be sweet to me.
Was there a comedian like that for you? Somebody that you really admired that you found out felt competitive towards you rather than?
Yes.
You want to name names?
No, I don't. But it is a weird thing when the younger guy catches and passes the older guy. It's difficult.
For the older guy. The older guy is thinking, my time is up, whatever. And
Your fame and your power and your intensity was so explosive, it scared everybody. Because we had never seen anything like that happen before. Or since, really. It just does. That kind of thing happens once every 50 years, 100 years or something. It's very, very rare.
Yeah.
So it was just a frightening natural phenomenon that happened. We had never seen anybody explode like that. So, it was scary.
Yeah.
To those guys.
Yeah.
Is it harder for you guys? Did you think it's harder? Well, I'll ask you first on this, Eddie, to do comedy in a film or to do it stand-up? So, I mean, you had people like Red Fox who were able to transition into television. They were able to take...
Red Fox wasn't scared when I met him.
No? Well, he didn't seem like he was happy.
No.
He was happy, Red Fox.
Yeah.
One of the most funny, just naturally funny ever. Just sit in a room, just not even try to be funny. He just says funny stuff all the time.
Did you ever hear that famous story of him going out to do a show in Vegas, and they play his song, dun-dun-dun-dun, dun, 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 and he does the walk out, and he gets out there, and he sees there's like 30 people. And he goes, I'm not doing this shit. And he just walks off, and as he walks off, they go, dun, 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 dun. Like, that was the show?
I was actually producing the show that he passed away on.
Really?
I was producing that show.
What was it going to be?
It was on the air. It was a show called The Royal Family. It had him and Della Reese. And he was a postman. Right. And it was after he'd went through all this financial stuff. And he got a show. And the show was working and did numbers. And then he, right, like, eight episodes in.
Wow.
Yeah. Can we talk about Della Reese for a minute? You just brought her up. There are so many people that, that have been a part of these films, a part of these projects that you guys have done that... I think for younger people, they didn't know who they were, and they had these incredible careers beforehand, like Della Reese that was this huge, to my mom, she was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But we know her through the films. Like, what was that about, of taking these people out of this bigger picture that maybe an older generation knew and putting them in films?
I wasn't trying to do that. like I wasn't like making a conscious effort to reach back and put in. I was just trying to cast the funniest person in the movie, the best person for the role.
Yeah. And did they have to be funny in advance? I mean, was somebody like that already funny, or were you able to bring that out of them with the role?
Della Reese
can't bring it out.
She either have it or they don't.
Oh yeah, funny is not coming out. It's either.
Yeah, she was funny already, but she wasn't the first choice for that role. It was some other actress, and she, I think she passed on it. It was the, who did I offer that? The sister that's in Which Way Is Up that was playing the piano. Giving Richard Pryor piano lessons. That's who was the original for that. She was a born again Christian. She was, I can't say all those curses.
What I love about this project is you are a fan. I mean, what comes through is that you are not just the host of this and yourself a hugely successful comedian, but you're a fan of these folks. It's part of the reason that you do this, just you are a fan. And just listening to you guys talk, that's how you come across.
To me, the fun thing, I mean, I love that people enjoy the show, but just to be with him for that day, that's why I do it. Just because I can't get together with most of these people. You know, it's hard to get together with people anyway these days, but there's an air in the room with comedians, right? The air changes.
Absolutely.
They just... you know, my favorite thing is when you tell the story of bombing and then getting in the car and then going to the diner to eat and just laughing and laughing. And that was the most addictive thing to me about entering this world. All of a sudden, not only was I doing comedy, I was hanging out with these people. And you find out, oh, we're all the same. We're all have this weird thing that, you know, we see things differently and look at life differently, and it's that atmosphere. Isn't that like 90% of the fun of being a comedian is that atmosphere?
Yeah, the other comics and little packs of comics have little packs of comics that they hang out with, and they think all the other comics are assholes. But your little group, nobody makes you laugh harder than your little group.
Yeah.
Do you think that the comedy has changed now? Because it's a different era. People are so much more uptight. People are so much more stressed out.
Yes.
People are freaked out constantly. Is it harder?
Been freaked out and stressed out.
It's always an issue. It's always.
Yeah. You think it's the same?
Always.
It's the same, but that it's more problems. Every era has its problems.
Do you?
It's more. They're more comics now, basically.
Yeah. Is it harder to do comedy when things are good? Meaning that you need something to play off of. So if things are too light, is it harder to actually make come up with funny stuff?
I do think this irritation, or what we call it, outrage culture, is because there's no big...
outrage culture. That's what they call it.
What can we get mad at? You know.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about these shows coming out. I was talking with some of my people. What are they gonna get mad at?
On this?
Something. They're gonna find something. No. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's nothing. I'm done with this.
Yes, they will. The homeless stuff will be a problem.
No. You think so?
Yeah. I don't know. They're not gonna just let it go. And go, so that was wonderful. Thank you.
So who's gonna? who's gonna spearhead?
Nobody.
You know their movement.
Nobody. Some person, and then you'll go. You ain't nobody. You got a Twitter account.
I don't think it would be.
Out of the projects that you've done, Eddie, you've done like, how many movies? Probably 50? I don't know. I can't even count
50?
Them up at this point. How many movies have you done?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. So many.
I think I did it like 40 movies.
Wow.
What about 40 movies? What's your favorite one?
I don't really have a favorite movie, you know. They all kind of are part of the body of work. That's like asking him, what's your favorite episode of Seinfeld? It's like...
Hey, man, I make something up.
All right, I gotta...
No one's gonna cross-reference and go, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't true.
Yeah, I mean, Seinfeld is not, you are not that character, but who in that show is the most like you? I mean, it is you. Is it you?
A little bit.
Is it really you?
I mean, the idea for me was, I don't want to do any real acting, because that's... So why don't I just try and play myself? And everybody, it was always a kind of a funny joke on the show that I would be standing with the writers off camera and we would go, let's do this line. Oh yeah, let's change that line. And then I would just walk onto the set and do the line.
Right.
The same way I was talking to them, you know.
So it really was you?
Well, pretty, you know, I mean, it's not a documentary. It is a fictional.
Close to a documentary. But yeah. I have to ask you this question. Of the clumps, which one is the most like you? Who are you out of the clumps?
I'm like none of them.
None of them? Not even grandma?
I'm not like any of them. I'm not like anybody that in my movies. I'm not never.
You've never tried. There's no person in any of these films that is like this is kind of me being me.
Never ever once.
Never. Why is that? Once.
Ah, no, Pluto Nash.
Okay.
That's me.
If you could go back and just like grab somebody out of history to do this with, like a comedian that you really admire to do something like this with, who would it be?
You're going to object, but I am a huge fan of Bernie Mac. I love Bernie Mac.
No, Jack, I love Bernie Mac.
I told you I thought Bernie Mac was one of the funniest.
No. You didn't say one of. You said you thought he was the best that you'd ever seen do it.
Well,
that's the word you said. I said I love Bernie, but the best? I said, I love Bernie, but not the best. I said, if you told anyone else that you thought he was the best, they would go, really? Yeah. We were doing our comic Mount Rushmore. We were saying which comedians would be on Mount Rushmore. And we were all saying, like, Bernie, I was saying, like, Richard Pryor, Lenny Bruce, and then he goes, and Bernie Mac, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I love Bernie, but on Mount Rushmore, that's what I
have
saying.
Spent a lot of time.
I love Bernie Mac. I think Bernie Mac is. I think he's hysterically funny. Very into.
But there's a lot of people. I mean, I would love to have George Carlin. Joan Rivers was booked to do the show and passed away after we booked her. I mean, this thing to me has been a kind of isolating the gene project. Like each person that's on this show has this gene, has this DNA, and you can see it consistently runs through them all. They all have this thing. It's all in different packages and different personalities, different ages and whatever and everything, but that through line. So I think I could do it with Chaplin or Stan Laurel, anybody like that. You would find the same thing.
Yeah.
Chaplin.
Yeah, Chaplin. You think he is funny to talk to?
I think he would be doing little funny stuff. Doing a little funny little shtick.
Do you know if he ever did stand up in those days? Did they have that? He was in vaudeville in England.
Because you said no to Chaplin when I was like Chaplin, and you were like, he's never.
Well, but that's
not. I was like, he did live stuff. You were like, no. So he was saying Bernie Mac and not Chaplin.
I actually tried to do a show with Bernie Mac after he passed away. I tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I wanted to show videos. I was going to drive in the car by myself and just talk about him.
Right. It's
I just have a thing. I like him. Yeah. He makes me laugh.
Everyone loves Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac is one of the funniest people of all time.
Yeah, one of the funniest.
Yeah. But you said funny.
Is there anything that you guys would never make fun of? Is there anything that's like, okay, I can't go there? Because you
talked about this. Publicly or to each other?
Publicly.
I mean, you guys talked about it. Publicly, certain things you can do, certain things you can't do.
Yeah.
Amongst ourselves, nothing. There's nothing off
limits. There's nothing you guys would make fun of.
No, nothing's off limits.
But in terms of like writing a public bit, I mean, you guys talked about it a little bit in the episode that, you know, somebody dies and your first thought is you come up with something funny to say.
Right.
But then you think, well, can I do that publicly? Is there something you're like, no, I can't do it?
Yes, it depends on it's. You have to calculate how funny it is versus how offensive it is. If it's very offensive, it's got to be that much funnier. If the joke is that great, you can overcome things that people would feel uncomfortable talking about. But that's comedy skill.
Usually the joke that's really offensive isn't funny.
That's right.
It very rarely is it a hysterical joke. It's like just not cool.
Right. Yeah. Does it feel like comedy sort of walked back, though? Because it does feel like that earlier era, that Richard Pryor era, it was a lot more blunt. I felt like comedy could be a lot more blunt about race, about the culture. It could be about, you could say anything. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like that isn't true anymore.
I don't know, you could, you know, it's all timing and when you say what you say and who's there, because I've heard comics say crazy shit, you know, and get away with it, you know, it's just...
Then or now.
Just period. You hear people say crazy things. It's just who's saying it, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're one of the faces and you say something, then it becomes a big story. But if you're like, you know, one of the guys in, on the come up and you say something crazy, there's no, you don't have to pay up for that. You just said it. Mm-hmm. I hear comics, you know, there are comics that do really, really edgy stuff. You just, they just, you don't know who they are.
Yeah. Do you feel like the industry's changed in the sense that now there is this trajectory to get into the movies, right? I mean, you were really one of the earliest people that, you know, SNL, get into the movies. I think you left SNL when in 84. 85, you're in movies. That trajectory's fast now. Mm-hmm. So that, does it pull people off of stage before they really hone their craft?
It has always been like that. It's a brutal life to just do stand-up.
Yeah.
It's a very, you really, you're tested every night in a seriously. I mean, because if it doesn't work, it's very uncomfortable. If you're doing a scene in a movie or a TV show that doesn't work, no one's uncomfortable. All right, we got to fix that.
Yeah, you can fix it.
You know, but live stand-up is, you know, that's why I was, one of the things I loved in this show is you talking about how much you still love it and still respect it. And that's why I think, I always tell people this because they ask me about you doing it. And I go, he respects it on a level. He's not going to just go up there unless he's really got his stuff figured out what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just stand up on stage and go, well, you know, I'm here, everybody's gonna enjoy that.
Yeah.
Not on tour or anything, but you gotta go to get an act. I gotta go to the club and literally start from ground. You gotta start all the way over again.
Yeah. Have you thought about doing it? I mean, you talked about it in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but there's no way around that process. You have to go do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you have to do it in the clubs. How many shows would you have to do before you felt, you know, I'm comfortable, I think I could do something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're talking about a lot of rust. A lot of rust I'd have to get off. Actually, you know, I think I'd be like a fish to water, because that's who I am.
That's who I am. Think you would go right back to it?
I think I would go right. It would go just, it would, you know, it's who I am.
Do you enjoy that more than doing the films and doing the other stuff?
Enjoy it more?
Yeah, stand up.
No, I don't know. You know, it's nothing like being on a live audience and hearing a live audience laugh.
Even this is really fun.
It's nothing like
that. That sound, right? Is there anything better than
nothing
that sound?
Better than nothing that. Better. And when you do stand-up, it's right there and it's instant. You make a movie, it's a process. You know, you can have a money moment on the set that's funny, and it has to be cut and edited and all this stuff. And you know, you don't see it for a year and a half after you do it with an audience and all. So it's stand up, you come up with try something new, and you hear it right then.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And there's nothing like that.
And you asked, you know, Eddie about this, but what about you? Can we look forward to you getting back out and doing a lot of stand up? I mean, you've got an Emmy Award winning project
Thank you.
Congratulations on another nomination. I know you don't care about the awards, but you're nominated again.
Nominated for this?
Yeah. Nominated.
Are you going to accept your Emmy?
No.
You're not going to go?
Don't you have other Emmys? You have to have other Emmys.
Well, I'm sure I must, but I...
you haven't accepted any? You don't accept any of them?
No, I don't accept it. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I accept it. Okay. Somebody gives you an award. Oh, thank
you very
much. On the show,
you were like, I don't want awards. I was like...
Well, I don't want to talk about this publicly, but there are certain...
It's just us.
I'm just always doing stand-up. Kind of that's my aquarium. I feel like I'm a tropical fish. This is my aquarium.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in the aquarium.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, movies, what Eddie talks about is the thing that puts me off it. The size and scope and the manpower, the money. I like to just, let me just see if this is funny, and then I'll go home.
And then just go home.
Yeah.
What about a Seinfeld movie? You could do that.
Yeah, I suppose one could do that.
One could do that. It would be funny.
But it's not better.
Yeah.
It would be less funny, because in a movie, you have to have a chase scene, you have to have a romantic story. We have to like these people in the end and feel like, oh, I'm certainly glad I came into this theater and spent this time with these people. That's what's ruined movie comedy.
Yeah.
Redemption.
redemption of the character at the end. We want to make sure we like this guy at the end, you know, the focus group. I didn't like the character. You know? So what? You see, that's what was great about doing the TV series. It was like Bugs Bunny, he can get a cannonball in the face and we go to black and come back and he's fine. You know?
Absolutely. So if you weren't doing this job, can you picture the life you would have had alternative to doing this? What would you have been doing instead? Like, what would funny Eddie Murphy and funny Jerry Seinfeld have been doing if they weren't doing this job?
Oh, wow, I don't know.
Yeah, what could you do? You can't do anything. Could you work a
Could
job?
It be show business? It's not in show business.
Not in show business, just a regular gig.
I don't know. I think I'd have been a drifter or something.
It's a career.
A charming drifter.
I would have probably tried to be a writer. I think I like writing.
That's kind of artsy.
It's still in
too,
the arts.
Oh, that's too artsy? You know what? I'll be honest with you. I could do any job. I really can. I like working. I remember I was going to Queens College night school. And I had a job during the day for 2 or 3 hours a day, taking a light bulb, putting it in a cardboard box, folding the box, and then I put it in another box. And I swear to God, I remember sitting there for hours doing this going, this isn't bad.
It's fine.
Yeah, this is fine.
It's fine. You know? Along sort of the same lines, what do you still want to do? Do you guys still come up with like a bucket list? Is your bucket list like at like almost peak full?
You mean my bucket list is
like what do you still want to
show business?
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to get some more laughs. I want to keep being funny. And, and just maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to get to or be. I'm just kind of, you know, trying to maintain and keep my sanity and stay as normal as possible. And
mm-hmm. Do your kids think you're funny? Do they still laugh at you?
Yeah. My kids, sometimes.
Sometimes, you ever have them, they do your stuff to control you? They act like you?
No, they don't do that.
Like, my kids will, they'll do, like, my attitude. Like, I'll say, you know, we're having dinner. We're having dinner now. And someone said, yeah, Dad, I know that. You know, I know we're having dinner. I heard. We all heard it. You don't have to repeat it. I go, that's me. You're doing my attitude. I don't
like it. No, my kids.
What do you guys watch? Like, if you're not...
He watches the little people.
The little people of LA.
That's it? Just
I watch all of them, too. Because they have different cities. They have the little people of...
Well, they can't be different in different cities.
Yeah, you would be surprised how different they are. The Little Women of LA are nothing like the Little Women from Atlanta.
Yeah.
A whole different...
Is this a real show?
Everything's
when you were talking
real,
about
Joy.
It, I was like, what show are you talking
the
about?
It's not called The Little People.
Really?
The Little Women.
It's a real show?
The Little Women. That's another show. That's like a
women,
show where
I've
the people are like
book.
Normal family. These are like salacious little people. Drama, and they just have all kinds of stuff going. It's like a soap opera. They get into fights and walk off in a huff.
The walk off is funny.
A little person walking off in a huff.
Yeah, that's funny.
It never gets old.
Why don't we take a couple of audience questions? We have a very intelligent crowd here.
There's somebody right here.
Is it harder to write observational humor? You know, if you started, you talked about the other comedians, like, it's not like you do a Henny Young, you know, set up in a joke.
Every comedian that you ever see in life, whatever they're doing, that's all they can do. That's it. That's all. That is what they have, and they're doing it. If they can't go, you know what, I think I'll be more a character. I think I'll do some more characters. I think I'll do my grandfather. Comedians... If they can succeed at all, they have a very few little bag of tricks that we can do. This guy has one of the biggest bags of tricks anyone's ever had. But most comedians, whatever they're doing, That is the only thing that works. The only thing. Somebody was writing something about me on my shows in London, saying that the act is a little, he doesn't reveal much of himself or something like that. You know, they always try to find something to complain about. And I'm thinking, I can't do anything other than what I'm doing. I can't go, yeah, I think I'll do that or do that. You know, what you see, that's it.
So you don't weigh that, think how many people would think that was funny. You're just as talented.
No, you weigh it. I say it, you weigh it. And then if you like it, I do it again. What you're seeing is the summation of what everybody else liked. Not what I liked, what you liked.
Hey.
Yes, hey.
Hi, guys. Are there any young comedians right now that you're really excited about, that you really love?
This question comes up a lot.
Yeah, they always
say, they want someone else. They're tired of it. Can we get somebody else? It's so hard. Comedy is a, it looks fun, and it is fun, but it is a, it's a brutal profession, don't you think?
Brutal? What do you mean brutal?
The attrition, the number of people that want to do it and can't quite get there. It's very, very high attrition rate. It's very much more like, I think, professional sports.
Yeah, but the special ones are the only ones that come on your radar, you know. And it's a bunch of funny people now. When we started doing it, was probably 100 comics in the whole country.
Right, you know, right.
Now it's 1,000 comics.
Oh, no, it's more than that.
You think it's more than 1,000 comics?
In the country? It's 100,000 in the country.
100,000
comics?
Yes. You think that many?
Sorry, follow up. Is there anyone doing comedy that you guys would step to in the way, not in the way Bill Cosby stepped to you, but is there anyone that you're like, ooh, if he just would... he would get right to that thing.
Comedians don't take advice very well. They want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and I would never.
Yeah. I see people, I go, don't lean on the mic stand with your elbow. Get to work on that, you know? You're on stage to work, not to hang out, you know?
You say that to a comic?
I think it, but I don't. I would like to tell people what to do.
This question's for Mr. Murphy. It's been reported that Coming to America 2 is definitely
not happening. Yeah.
Is there anything that you can spill or share? Are you going to be involved?
Oh, I'm in it.
I know. But just for a little bit.
Like, no, I'm in it, and I'm producing the film, and I developed it.
Oh, that's great.
How much of the original cast is coming back?
Everyone from the original movie is coming back, with the exception of Madge Sinclair, who passed away, but everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
James L. Jones is going to be back.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. That's funny, James L. Jones, he cut some racy stuff out of the script the other day. Just for James L. Jones, I have a problem with that. That's very funny.
I had a question about when you're a comedian, you transition to scripted, like TV or film, do you kind of have, and you know you're going to have to write it, how important is it to have kind of trusted writers who might not be performers, but you kind of trust their structure and making a character funny?
Obviously, you have to have a rapport with the writers, but the key is to not trust the writers, to trust yourself. If you go, I'm not going to be funny doing that line,
right.
You know, when you're a comedian, you get that opportunity. Hopefully, by that time, you know what material works for you and what doesn't, which goes back to the other thing. You know what you can do, what you can pull off, and what you can't.
But just a really quick follow-up, like when you do kind of make that transition, you still would probably, you're actively trying to look for people to kind of help you get to where you can go, right?
Yes, help you, but every line I did in my series, I wrote.
Right, right.
Because I know how I would say that. So that's, again, why I didn't want to stress myself as an actor because I don't really think that's my thing. Right. So I made it fit me.
In terms of, like, the plot and all that stuff, you trust?
I would go with the writers. Yeah,
would it be people usually in your comedic circle or people that, like, networks give you?
Obviously. No, people you meet and they talk and you just kind of dig them or you don't.
Well, I wish we could keep going, but... Jerry Seinfeld, congratulations on 11 seasons of Comedians
Thank you.
In Cars.
Thank you.
And, you know, poor Crackle. God bless them for giving you the start for that. But Netflix is the winner of it. Thank you guys very much. Really appreciate it. Thank you all for being here.